If I'm not mistaken, the last sugya that we spoke about, we spoke about some of the halachas of dam chimud, that a woman could theoretically be a nida before she gets married, even without technically being a nida. It's the chachamim misake, in that right before a woman gets married, so we have to always be concerned that because of the excitement of getting married, she became a nida, and therefore she has to observe shiva nikiyim and go to the mikvah, mamash like a regular nida. Most of our marriages today, it doesn't really matter, because girls were getting married when they're younger, anyway, are nidas min haTorah, so of course they have to count shiva nikiyim, of course they have to go to the mikvah, but even the once in a while case, we have a woman who's older, who is already past going to the mikvah, so she's required to go to the mikvah because of the salach of dam chimud. So the ma'isa, if a woman doesn't go to the mikvah before her wedding, so she's either a nida d'oraisa or a nida midrabbanan. There is a whole discussion in the Shulchan Aruch that really is an extension of this halacha. What would be the ramifications if the woman didn't go to the mikvah? Either midrash or midrabbanan. Well, nice, the woman comes to the wedding and we realize that she hasn't done, that she hasn't counted, she hasn't checked, she hasn't gone to the mikvah, nothing. She's mamash neid, either midrash or midrabbanan. How does that affect the wedding? So much of the discussion about chuppas nida finds itself in this siman in Shulchan Aruch in Ukhus nida. So I thought we'd just take a little bit of an opportunity to talk about it as it plays out l'maisa bizman hazeh. So every once in a while we do get these shaylas of chuppas nida. We get them much, much less than they were in the past for a very simple reason. Now most women before they get married end up going on some kind of pills to control their cycles and to try to maneuver in such a way that it doesn't become a chuppas nida. But whether it's a good idea or a bad idea is a different story, but lamais, that's what's happening and that's what people are doing. But afal pi chein, even with all the medication in the world, it doesn't always work. And every once in a while there is still a shayla of a chuppas nida. So what are the significant halachas that appear in Shulchan Aruch in this siman about chuppas nida? So the most important discussion is the issue of yichud, which is why people go out of their way to try to avoid chuppas nida in the first place. The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Masechus Ksubis that even though the halacha is that a husband and wife are permitted to be in the same room, they're permitted to be yichud, even when the woman is a nida, that's obviously the case. There's an exception to the rule. The exception to the rule is kodim b'rishona, that if the couple hasn't been together even once, then there is a prohibition of yichud when the woman is a nida. So therefore it says in Shulchan Aruch that if a woman didn't count shiva nikiyim, either midaraisa because she's younger, or even midarabbanan because she's older, and didn't fulfill the din of dam chimud properly, and didn't go to the mikvah, so then the couple has a big problem, that even after they get married, they would be prohibited to be in the same room until the woman finishes counting shiva nikiyim and goes to the mikvah. So therefore, because of that concern, we try very hard to avoid chuppas nida. So again, in the olden days, we would try to avoid it naturally by just trying to schedule the wedding as close as possible to or as far as possible from her being a nida. Because manazeh, we try to do a little bit more with medication. What exactly is the nature of this halacha that a couple is not permitted to be b'yichud before be a rishona? Where did this halacha come from? Is this a din min haTorah? Is this a din min derabbanan? So this, you have to answer this question, you have to throw the question back a little bit. Is the issu yichud in this a derais? Was the issu yichud in this a derabbanan? Forget about this wild case of yichud. A normal case of yichud, a regular normal issu of yichud, is that an issu min haTorah and issu min derabbanan? So the Gemara in Maseches Aved Zarah tells us that sometimes yichud is also min haTorah and sometimes it's also min derabbanan. We spoke about this in some yichud shirim a couple of years ago. 3 years ago already. So basically the Gemara points out there were three different developments in terms of the Yisr Yichud. That the Yisr Yichud with the Araisa only applies to Arayas. The Gemara derives from Sukkim and Pashas Re'ayas, a lot of a complicated Rasha. But the Gemara calls us a Din with the Araisa, that when have Yichud with Arayas, let's say a man wants to be Yach with an Eshesish or a man with some other kind of an Erva, so that would be an Yisr Araisa of Yichud. Then the Gemara says there was a Tachonas HaChamim in the days of David HaMelech to institute an Yisr Yichud even with a Penuya, even a girl who's single, presumably was Tahorah, she went to the mikvah, but Afa Bichayn, there's an Isra of Yichud, the Midr Abanan with her, that was instituted after the Ma'is of Tamar and Amnon. And then there was a later Takana that was made in the days of Tamid Hisham and Hillel to prohibit Yichud even with Goyim. So Yichud that we have today, sometimes it's Deraisa, sometimes it's Derabanan. If it's with an Erev, it's a Deraisa. If it's with a Penuya who's not a Nida, then it's Derabanan. And if it's a Goy, so then for sure it's only going to be Midr Abanan. The question that's relevant for us is whether yichud with a nida falls into the category of yichud mid araisa. Forgetting about whether it's your wife or not. Let's say stam.
Is there a difference between the yichud of David HaMelech and of Beit Shammai, or is it the same zera drabanan?
It was just delayed. Yeah, I don't think there are any differences.
It's like elongation of it, meaning that here's the zera, we're going to elongate it now to include.
Let's extend it, right. Yeah, I don't think there's any difference in terms of the status of halacha. I don't think there's any difference. The Rambam writes in his Achtam, the Perish of Mishnayis, that a pialocha, there's absolutely no difference between a takanas chacham that was made in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and a takanas chacham that was made in the days of Ravina and Ravashi. It has the same toka of a din derabbanan. It may have been 2,000 years later, but it's the same koch of derabbanan. The araisa is different from a derabbanan, but within derabbanans, we don't find any difference between who made the which particular base they made the gezeira. So Kopar, get back to the story. So what would that halacha be? Forget about whether the woman is your wife. What about with the regular needs? A single girl. So we'll say very common shayla. A lot of yichud shaylas come up on go on dates, go to places which are secluded. So what's the halacha? So the girl is single on the one hand, but she's a nida. So the fact that she's a nida, is that considered to be yichud b'daraisa? Or do we say no? That's not called yichud b'daraisa. It's not called yichud b'darabana because she's a penuya. So what is the status of a nida vis-a-vis the isurim of yichud? So this seems to be machlekes harishonim. It's machlekes the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam whether a nida is considered to be one of the arayas or not. The Torah speaks about a whole list of women who are prohibited to have relations with in Parashas Zachar and Moses and Parashas Kedoshim. So the Rambam writes, any person who's on that list is by definition considered to be an erva. So according to the Rambam, an Eshesish is an erva, and your sister's an erva, and your mother's an erva, and a Nida is an erva. Anyone who's in the list is considered to be within the parasha of Gili Arayas. And Rabbi Natam seems to disagree. Rabbi Natam holds that the definition of an erva doesn't only mean a woman who's on that list. It has to be a woman who is permitted to some people and prohibited to other people. So let's say, for example, my sister. So I can't marry my sister, but somebody else can. My mother. I can't marry my mother, but somebody else can. An Eshes Ish. I can't marry the Eshes Ish, but she can marry her husband. She can remain married to her husband. So you have women who are asuras to some people and mutaras to other people. That's the halachic definition of an erva. In Issacharis with an Issalazah Mutalazah. But if you have a woman who's a Surah Lakol, so that's not an Erva, that's like even Chometz and Pesach, that's like Michal Shabbos, that's an Issacharis, but that's like called Arayas. So therefore, according to the Sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, Nida is not technically an Erva. It's also, there's no question, there's an Issacharis on it, but it's not considered to be Gili Arayas. My Nafkamina Ladinas, you have a few Nafkamina Ladinas, you have other, there are other Nafkamina Ladinas, whether a Nida is considered to be an Erva. So this is probably the Nafkamina Ladinas here as well. If you assume that the Isra of Yichud mid Arayas is limited only to Arayos, so would there be an Issa Yichud on a Nida, on a love of the Arayas? And Midarabana for sure would be Asar, but Midarayas, would it be Asar or not? So according to the Ram, it would probably be Midarayas. According to Rabbi Natam, it would probably only be Midarabana. But this is assuming that the woman is not your wife. If the woman is your wife, it's just that it's Kodim Bir Rishona. So many poskim say, the Chazon Ish writes this way, and others write this way, that everybody agrees that Midarayas, if the woman's married to you, so a Vada is no Issa Yichud. How could there ever be an Issa Yichud with your own wife? So the fact that the Gemara Masechet Ksuba says that Kodim Bir Rishona is an Issa Yichud, that Mistam is a Chumah Midarabanan. So we're going to assume for now that the din that we're talking about is only Chumah Midarabanan. Even if Yichud is their ice, and even if Yichud with the regular need is their ice, Yichud with Ishta Kodim Bir Rishona is at worst only a Chumah Midarabanan. So we're going to go with that approach for now. But it's still also midrabanan, it's still a problem. So anytime you have a case of a couple who either the woman didn't go to the mikveh midrais, so she didn't go to the mikveh for dam chimu midrabanan, so not only are the couple also to be together, but they're also able to be in the same room together. What exactly are the parameters of this Isra of Yichud? So the Gemara is a very strange lush in the beginning of Maseches Ksubis discussing this Isra of Yichud. The Gemara says that what happens if you have a kalosh, a pirsa nida, so now you have what we call colloquially a chuppas nida. So the Gemara is trying to describe the fact that they're not allowed to be in the same room. So the Gemara uses a very poetic lush. Hu yashen ben ha'anoshim, hi yashena ben ha'anoshim. So he sleeps with the men, and she sleeps with the woman, with the women, and that's the description of the Isra Yichud. Not the lush. Why doesn't the Gemara just say, Asurim bi Yichud, Asurim liyachin, So the Rush in Maseches Ksubis quotes the name of the Ravid that the reason why the Gemara used such a strange lashon is to teach me two important halachas. So who yashin ben ha'anoshim, v'hi yashin ben ha'anoshim, that Chazal Dafka formulated this Issa Yichud only at night, only at a time of Shena, when there's more susceptible, more of a chance that they're going to be Chaltei, but in the daytime, so then there's no Issa Yichud, Kodim Bir Rishona. So as long as, again, they're married, even though she's a Nida, and there's an Issa Midir Abadon of Yichud before Bir Rishona, so says the Rabbi, the Issa is only at night and not in the daytime. So that's why Chazal used the phrase who yashin to highlight the fact that it's only the time of Shena. So the Chazon Ish points out at this Ravid that you see from the Ravid clearly this Issa Yichud is on a Midrabanan. If this would be an Issa Yichud Yaraisa, lo shemana davazim yoylam, that within Yichud Yaraisa there should be a difference between the day and the night. And on a real level of the Yaraisa, if there's an Issa Yichud, it's an Issa Yichud, bein b'yom bein b'layla. So of course, this is just a Chumra Midrabanan, an extra special Siyag and Ged the Midrabanan, and therefore the Chachamim limited this Siyag, this additional fence, only at a time of sleeping. But the Rabbi then goes one step further, and he says that if Chazal only wanted to highlight the fact that there's this heter of Yichud Bayom, so they should have just said, Who yashin ben ha'anoshim? Why did Chazal use a double lashon? Who yashin ben ha'anoshim? The hiyashena ben ha'anoshim. So the rabbi says it comes to teach us the following: that normally in uchas yichud, the halacha is if you have a shomer, if you have somebody who's going to stop you, who's going to prevent you from being chotei, so very often that's going to solve the issue of yichud. There are technical dinim within uchas yichud. What's considered to be a shomer? Is a person's husband considered to be a shomer? Is another man considered to be a shomer? Or is another woman a shomer? Different dinim in halacha, child, etc. We spoke about this a couple of years ago. We spoke about the details of uchas yichud. But there's definitely a concept of a shomer in uchas yichud. Comes the rabbi and says, this particular issue of yichud, so... the regular halachas of Shmira wouldn't work. How do I know that? Because the Gemara says, "Hu yashin ben ha'anoshim," and that's not good enough. Based on the regular halachas of Yichud, if you have two men together, or the nighttime, three men together, four men together, ten men together, and one woman, so that wouldn't be a violation of Yichud. The men would serve a shomer for one for another. But the Gemara clearly is saying that that's not enough. "Hu yashin ben ha'anoshim," that's not good enough. "Hu yashin ben ha'anoshim," and there have to be women around to protect the woman, to watch over the woman, to watch over the kala as well. So says the Ravid, but Chazal are telling us is that you require bay shomrim, you require bay shmiras. Normally, Hilchas Yichud would suffice with one shomer. Here, Hilchas Yichud requires two shomrim. So it comes out a little bit of a chum, a little bit of a kula, according to the Ravid, that we're very, very makil, and this Isra of Yichud couldn't be a Rishona, we're makil. That only applies balayla velo bayom. So bayom is hetter gomer. Don't need any shomrim. But balayla, when they require shomrim, then they require a two shomrim. This is what the Ravid suggests based on the reading of this gemara. So the Rush disagrees with both points of the Ravid. The Rush says that the poetic lush and the gemara's love dafka is just a nice way of saying that there's an isra of yichud, and therefore the Rush says there's no difference between the day and the night, and there's no difference between the regular dinim of shmira and the shmira over here. Whatever is mutter in regular chas yichud is mutter here. Whatever is also in regular chas yichud is also here as well. We have a fundamental machlekes and two different akudas between the Ravid and the Rush. What's the nature of this Issa Yichud? Is this Issa Yichud follow the regular rules of Uchas Yichud? That's what the Rush says. Bein l'chumr, bein l'kula. What does it follow? Its own unique, special chumras and kulas. A whole din with the Rabban. Nothing to do with the regular din of Uchas Yichud. That's the sheet of the Ravid. How do we pass in halacha? The shaylas really do come up. How do we pass in halacha? So the Ramah writes a little bit of a compromise. The Ramah writes that Aminagis could say as follows. Aminagis. It depends. We split between the Ravid and the Rush. We have some kind of a compromise, a pshara between the Ravid and the Rush in the following sense. So says the Ramah, we're not going to be matter outright to have Yichud Bayom. We're not going to say a freebie like the Ravid. It's the daytime, so everything goes. We're going to insist on a shomer in the daytime. But says the Ramah, we're not going to insist on two shomer in the daytime. That would be a chumrah, which doesn't make any sense. Because according to the Ravid, you don't need any shomer in the daytime. It's hetagomik, lachta, the one the husband and wife can be by themselves the whole day. According to the Rush, one shomer is good enough. So one shomer is good enough even at night, according to the Rush. So therefore, the Ramah says, in the daytime, one shomer suffices. But at night, which is a problem according to the Ravid, so then we're going to be machba to insist on two shomrim. So that's the pshar of the Ramah. So if you ask the Ramah, what do we follow? What's that din? Do we ask a yichud bayom also? Do we require two shomrim? So we take a little bit of a combination of both. Bayom, we're makel to permit one shomer, and at night, we insist on having two shomrim. How does this play out, lemaisa? What does this mean for us, tachlis, and shulchan aruch? What does it mean for us, lemaisa? So this is the source for our practice that when every once in a while we have a chubas nida, so we put a child into the yichud room. And the reason is that the child, as we learned in uchas yichud a couple of years ago, a child, if the child is old enough to understand a little bit what's going on, so the child is considered to be a shomer. If you put a two-year-old child into the yichud room, they don't know what's going on, so that's not going to be any deterrent. But if you put a six-year-old child, seven-year-old child, someone who understands a little bit what's going on, into the yichud room, so that will serve as a shomer. And we assume that's considered to be bayom. Why is it bayom? What if the chuppah is at night? What if it's 10? What if it's 9 o'clock at night? So the post came right. That's also considered to be bayom. Yom and laila doesn't mean shki and seis. Yom and laila means the time of going to sleep or not. So most people are not going to sleep. If you're at the wedding, it's not even if it's 9 o'clock at night. Depends how late. I could fall asleep sometimes waiting for the chosen kala to come out. But if most people don't fall asleep at that time, so that's not considered to be as man shena. That's considered to be aloch, even though it's technically night outside. It's dark outside, but Api Aloch is considered to be a yom, and therefore we follow the Ramos Kula that Shomer Echad is good enough for yom. So that's what Aminig is, that when you have a Chubas Nida, that we stop one child into the Yichud room to serve as a Shomer. But some people think that that's all you have to do. Well, that's only the beginning of the problem. Then once the couple goes home, they also require Shomerim, and then according to the Ramah, they require a double Shemira, so it may not even be enough to send one child home with them. So that's usually where the couple ends up going to the parents' house, where there are a few Shomerim around, a couple of people around. around. So until it's time for the woman to go to the mikveh. So again, that's one thing. It's obvious. It's a little bit of an uncomfortable situation. So therefore, we try to avoid it with chila. But if it happens, so you have to deal with it. And you have to, yeah, they have to remain in the state of shmirah, bein b'yom bein b'layla. But we tone down the shmirah in the daytime to suffice with one. At night, you should really have two.
Are they sleeping in the same room together by themselves?
That's a problem, yeah. They sleep in the same room, the door's closed, so what kind of shomer is that?
Correct. Right. So what makes sense, what really happens? I mean...
What should happen?
You know, someone comes over, what should we do? Who is Nita? Get married tomorrow night? Blah, blah, blah. What do we do?
You could leave the door open in the room. You could leave the door.
Sleeping in the room.
Yeah, it should be in a way that it should be whatever we would know. I mean, obviously, we're going to be a little bit more sensitive than we are. The regular chasicha, we're not going to let regular people sleep like that. But we have to be in such a way that there's a real bona fide deterrent, a real shomer. Otherwise, that's a violation of yichud.
And another thing, Rambam is machmir both ways.
He takes the chumers of both, but he doesn't combine the chumers together. It means he doesn't say that you need two people in the yom, because that would be a ksilvah chashchalach. That would be, nobody says that.
Nobody. Right. But that doesn't make sense.
Right, but he takes the chumers above. Right.
He's mocking both ways.
Right,
saying,
right.
During the day, you got to have one.
Right, right. That's right. That's what the Rambam
says. Not only split decision, he's just mocking both ways.
Right. But he's mocking both, but he's not mocking the combinations of the two, because nobody says that.
Right, but that would be a chumah. That would be, you know, that would be nonsensical, because no one says that.
Right.
And you make up a third thing if you did that.
Okay.
But he's taking the chumers of both sides.
This halacha of chuppas nida is not only true if the woman was in need at the time of the chuppah. You can have also a very uncomfortable situation. Let's say at the time that she got married, she was not a nida, but then before Bir Rishona, she became a nida. So Pirsa Kala Nida, sometime between the chuppah and Bir Rishona, so that could be a very, very difficult situation, because l'chore, that's the same halacha, that it's still called a Bir Rishona. So now the couple still lost a Bir Yichud. So you may have made it through the Yichud room, but it doesn't help you. So now you have a big problem. Now you got to wait. She's got to wait till she finishes bleeding, and then she's got to wait. Another 2 weeks until the couple could go home together. So that's an even more difficult situation. That's the din, that's the halacha. That if it's pierced the need, that couldn't be Rishon, that is going to be a problem. There is a Trumas Adeshen that the Rambam quotes with the following kula. The Trumas Adeshen writes that, let's say the couple got married and two or three nights pass and the couple doesn't have a Bir Rishona. They don't even try to have a Bir Rishona, and then the woman gets a period. So the Rambam quotes in the Trumas Adeshen that maybe the halacha wouldn't apply. Why? Because the whole idea of the Issa Yichud couldn't be a Rishona is because we're afraid that there's going to be an extra big Nisayon. It's going to be such a big Yetzahara for them. Normally when a couple is married, so we assume they're married for 20 years, so we assume that it's pas pasalo, so we don't have to be concerned with Yichud at the when the woman is in need, but it's couldn't be a Rishon, it shows that that's such a big Yetzahara, so we're extra especially concerned. So says the Trumas Adeshen, this couple has clearly indicated to us that there's not such a big Yetzahara, that Haraya, two, three nights have passed, and they haven't even tried to be together. So the Trumas Adeshen says, maybe this is the Yetzim in a Klal, maybe B'chiyai Gavna, so it wouldn't pose a problem. The only problem is, to apply this Trumas Adeshen, this is only true if those are real, that's the reality, that's really what happened. That means the couple really had an opportunity to be together, and they didn't, so that indicates that maybe we could be making. Even that's a chiddush. Even that, Rambam writes, is a tremendous chiddush, is Trumas Adeshen. But but sometimes not even that happens. I had a case a while ago where it was Pierce and Ida before they got back to the hotel room. I mean, the chuppah was 7 o'clock at night, and by 10 o'clock in the middle of the wedding, the woman became a need. The cycle got thrown off, and she became a need in the middle of the wedding. So that's not what the Trumas Adeshen is talking about. The Trumas Adeshen was talking about B'chiyai Gavna. They went home. They were in the same room for a night, and nothing happened. So maybe you can kvetch. Maybe you can be makel. But if they didn't even have the opportunity, so they didn't even show that they were able to be miskaver. So b'chari, that's going to be a problem. B'choladeus. You remember, it was a little bit of a difficult situation to try to explain to this couple now for 2 weeks that they were going to be, there was an Issa Yichud. So we tried to try as hard as we could to explain to them, but that's the thing. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if it's Pirsa and Nida before Bir Rishona, so even the Trumas Adeshen Kula is not going to apply over here. very, very common shaila that happens in this area revolves around something that we spoke a little bit about. We spoke about the dinner of Dan Basulim, and that's as follows. What's considered to be Bir Rishona for these purposes? A common shaila that a couple, after they get married, so they have Bir Rishona, but it's not exactly a full-fledged Bir in the real sense of the word. At what point do we say that this Isra Yichud falls off? At what point do we say that it's already showing the Yaitz of Bir Rishona, and now the Isra Yichud doesn't apply, and the woman can get a period at this point? So there is a big machlech machlokes aposkim about whether harah is good enough for this. Remember, we spoke about the din of dam besulim, so we mentioned that it's called gemar bia, that's a complete, total complete bia, and then it's harah, when just part of the eva goes into the woman's body. So l'chol dini haTorah, harah is considered to be bia. Let's say, for example, in the realm of eish ish, so that's a violation of lo sinaf, even if there's not a full complete penetration, that's still considered to be lo sinaf. And all the other areas of halacha, so harah is treated like gemar bia. The gemar learns after apostle, in the beginning of the sixth parak of Yavamas, as makora ha'ara. So the Gemara says ha'ara is dinuk gemar bia l'chol dini ataras, even if it's not a complete penetration. So what about in this area of halacha? Would we say that as long as a couple had a little bit of a bia, a little bit of a samash of a ma'aseh bia, even ha'ara, that would be good enough to solve any potential problems of yichud down the line? Or should we say, no, maybe this is different? Why would anybody say this is different? So some posts can say this is very different because this is not a halacha bia. This is a psychological issue. It means we want to know, has the couple already, they already were together, and therefore the Yetzer Hara is not as burning. Therefore, it's like a shtickle pas pasala at this point. So some posts can say that Kozman, there wasn't a real bona fide bia, even if Apidin there was a bia. So according to the Mishnah Yevamos, there was a bia. But if psychologically the couple doesn't feel that they completed, so then maybe that wouldn't be good enough to knock off this subsequent problem of Echopas Nida. And other posts can say, no, other posts can say, Ein lo l'mash omru Chazal. Means Chazal said, we have Masari that Haroik was Gmar Bia. That's it. It was a Gmar Bia l'chol din yator. Bein l'chol bein l'achmir. And once the couple succeeds in having Haro, that would be sufficient to avoid any potential problems. So this is a very, very important shayla. This shayla happens, Mamash Maisim b'chol yom, that a couple very often, after the Chasra, so sometimes it's not so easy for them, and they have just Haro. They don't really succeed in having a real bonus for Gmar Bia. So then the next day, the woman gets a period, because she's on pills. But sometimes happens is that very often the woman is on pills, and the pills are supposed to hold off the period, and she doesn't realize, nobody told her, that sometimes they don't succeed in having beer rishona right away. So sometimes it may take 2 or 3 days till they really matzliach. So she doesn't have any more pills. She assumed that she took her last pill the night before the chasr, and now she's home free. So she doesn't have any pills. So she's out in the middle of Yehupitzville, and she doesn't have any more pills. And we all know, if you don't take the pills, then you're going to get your period right away. So it happens all the time. The woman doesn't have enough pills, and then nothing happens that night, nothing happens the next night, and then the following day she's anita, and then she calls crying, what happened? We didn't have beer rishon, and now I'm anita. Then you connect the dots, so it turns out the woman is now a surah for the next 2 weeks, is an asiyicha for the next 2 weeks. So the way to solve this problem, I always tell all the women, is that they should make sure they have a supply of pills for them to carry them over for a couple of days, just in case the scenario plays out, which is a very common scenario. But let's say, whatever, it didn't happen. For whatever reason, she didn't have enough pills. She ran out, whatever, tachas, the pills didn't work. They don't always work. Bottom line is, she became an Ida after they had a hara. They had a little bit of a something the first night, but they didn't really succeed. So what would that look be? Is that considered to be kainah bi rishona? Is that considered to be agah bi rishona? After min ladina, and it's a yichud for the next 2 weeks. So this was a big machlokes poskim, and there are many poskim who are making on the shaila. And we have a right to be making on the shaila based on what we said before, that this whole issue in the first place is probably only mid the rabbanan. Following the Ravid's kula, that this whole Isser of Yichud Kadam Bir Rishon is the Chaznish was Mdaif in the Ravid, because the Ravid said the Isser of Yichud only applies Balayla, not Bayom. So that's a proof positive that it's only an Isser Drabon, even though we don't really follow this Ravid to be Mata Bayom, but at least the Ikaron, at least the theory of the Ravid is correct, that the Isser of Yichud Kadam Bir Rishon is most probably only an Isser Drabon, and so therefore, in Machlekes HaPoskim, we have a right to be Mekel, that Hara is good enough for these purposes. So if you put it together, something that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about Dam Besulim, this is also a very, very common shayla, that a couple calls, let's say they got married and they call up in the middle of the night, they call the next morning, that they succeeded a little bit, they had a little bit of hara, and now they want to know twofold. They want to know, number one, are they permitted to continue, number one, and then number two, is that considered to be a ma'aseh bia vis-a-vis solving a problem of the Issa Yichud? So here we give a flip sock, and it works out in the benefit in both directions. That means Legabi Huchas Dam Besulim, we assume, like the Ramah said a couple weeks ago, that Hara is not considered to be like a Marbiya, because in order to create the Isser of Bol Bilos Mitzvah Peiresh, it has to be a real bona fide Bia, because that's a physical issue. It's not a halachic issue. Did they break the Besulim? Not break the Besulim. So if there's no Dam, and it's just a Chashash that maybe they broke the Besulim, so as long as it wasn't the Gemar Bia, it wasn't complete penetration, we could be Makil that the Besulim most probably were not broken. We have no reason to believe they were broken. There's no blood, there's no anything. So we could be Makil that Hara is, he could still continue to have to try further. other. On the other hand, you have the best of both worlds. That's considered to be bia vis-a-vis the halachas of yichud kanim bia rishona. So if they try again and they don't succeed again, and then the woman gets a period, will be mat her alabail as well. So somebody listens to this psach, they think, wait a second, make up your mind, Rabbi. Either there was bia, there was no bia. So the answer is depends which area of halacha we're talking about. In the siman two simanim earlier, nuchasdam basulim, we'll say that's not called bia because it didn't physically break the basulim, so you don't have to be worried about it. But lagabi the iser of yichud kanim bia rishona, we'll say it's good enough. It's a ma'aseh bia. It's good enough for the ma'aseh bia to permit any subsequent iser of yichud. That's how we're noy. At least that's I'm noy. At least many. That's the mesorah that I have to be noy that we can give this flip sock that we call this harah. It's good for one thing, but not good for something else. And again, this is very, very common. Shaila, many couples have this type of thing. Sometimes it gets even a little bit more complicated. About the Isra of Yichud Kanim Bia Rishona in the following case. Sometimes a couple will get married and then they'll try the first night, they'll try the second night, try the third night, and nothing happens. B'chlal, nothing happens. Not always they know Gemar Bia, there's no Arab, so whatever, they can't, whatever it is, whatever different reasons, nervous, whatever, tired, nervous, whatever factors are contributing to this phenomena, but the phenomena exists out there. They don't succeed right away. So now the problem is the woman's scheduled to get her period, so either if she's not on pills, so she can't control her, so she's mom, she's going to get a period the next day, and even if she's on pills, how long is she going to stay on the pills for the next 10 years? So obviously she's going to have to come off the pills at some point. So, but the couple didn't have anything. They didn't have bia, gemar bia. They didn't even have hara. They probably didn't have anything. So now what's the halacha? So now the woman gets a period. So what do we say about this? Do we say gevalt? Now it's couldn't be a rishona. No bia happened at all. Not a gemar bia, not a ra, nothing. And now the woman is mamash asura. And we got 2 weeks of an issa yichud. Or do we say no? That maybe the issa of yichud doesn't apply under these circumstances. So according to that Trumas Hadesh, and with the Ramah, maybe we can kvetch out a kula that from the fact that they tried to be together and they weren't together, maybe that's a proof that there's nothing to be concerned with. That's a question whether that Shumas Hadesh would even apply over here. So here there are some poskim who are makel based on the following. There's some poskim who are makel that maybe for this Isser of Yichud couldn't be Rishon, or the whole thing is an Isser Derabbanan anyway. So maybe we don't even need a Maisa Bia Bechlal. You don't even need, not only do you not need a Gemar Bia, you don't even need a Hara, you don't need anything. As long as a couple tried. So, yeah, they tried a little bit. They had the Neshikas Hever like the Gemar Yavam Sivir. A little bit, they touched a little bit in that area. Maybe that's good enough to circumvent this whole issur of yichud kadim bi rishona. Maybe you don't even need that. So there were some achronim who held like this. Others held v'shum part of ofer. That's absurd. What do you mean? Chazal say kadim bi rishona. It was bad enough that we were makel to permit hara. Atkedekach to say that you don't even need a ma'aseh bi altogether. So yesh v'yesh. There are different opinions in the poskim about this. Rabbi Yosef has in his Sefer in Taras Abayis, so he quotes from some of the Acharonim who are making on this on the Shaila, and the Acharonim write that it's a very, very difficult Shaila to be machmer on, because usually the cause of this problem in the first place is nerves. That means the couple's nervous, the husband's nervous. So very often what happens when the husband's nervous, they can't, they're not going to be successful in having a real ma'aseh bia. So what are we going to tell the husband? We're going to tell the husband, okay, you have 10 minutes, your wife's going to get her period tomorrow, and if you don't, matzliach now, so then it's going to be nisyich for the next 2 weeks. So as we all know, if you want to make somebody nervous, the best way to make somebody nervous is to tell them not to be nervous. The best way to tell them nervous is to make the up the ante a little bit. So now the husband's going to be, mama, she's going to be really scared, so that's going to make matters even worse. So Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes in a little bit of a cryptic lashon, he says, as we all know, it all comes from nerves, right? It all comes from nerves. So therefore, the chacham, the rav, was passing the shayla. Chacham in a barosh has to figure out how to pass in the shayla properly. Then Rabbi Avadi quotes from some achronim a fascinating kula. He writes that should we be making the shayla or not? That's just to say that a little bit of touching was good enough to circumvent the sister. So Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes, he said he thinks it depends on how from the chosan and kala are. Says how big Yirei Shemayim the Chosan and Kala are. So usually we think, you know, if you're a big Yirei Shemayim, we're going to throw chumras at you, a mach v'tavol avrach. He says no. He says if the couple's a real Yirei Shemayim, so he says the odds that they're going to be chayte, that we're going to let them stay in Yichud the next 2 weeks is so unlikely that the mamish, the guy says I'm ben tayrish, it's nua, it's highly unlikely that they're going to be chayte anyway. The whole thing is a technical listen to the rabbanon of Yichud couldn't be rishon. If you can kvetch, you can find the kula for. But if the couple's not so from. And we're afraid that they talk of really maybe chayte, so then you have to be more machmer for them. So that's what he says. So if you're a big Yirei Shemayim, then he can be make on the shalom. If you're not such a Yirei Shemayim, then the rav has to be much more concerned. And Baruch Hashem, usually the people who ask the shalom are the big Yirei Shemayim in the first place. So maybe in Yavin, usually I'm neitel hakel on these kinds of shalos. But sometimes sometimes we have found, sometimes works in this area, is that even if the Rav is not necessarily committed to being making on the Shaila, it's a very Chaznish was not making on this. All the Poskim were not making on this Kula of just being Matar, even without any Bia whatsoever. But if you tell the couple beforehand that when they call hysterical in the middle of the night, they can't succeed and nothing's happening, and now the woman's due to get a period and tomorrow. So if you tell the couple, don't worry about it, we'll have a Kula for you tomorrow. Whether, you don't have to commit yourself to that Kula. But as long as they know that there's a Kula coming, so that is sometimes can works wonders in the world of psychology. So maybe you haven't run up to figure out how to deal with this appropriately.
What about a second marriage? Is that Bia Roshana, is that per marriage, or is that conceptually both?
I think it's...
So in other words, she becomes a second marriage of both of them, and she becomes a Nida right before...
I think it's with this couple. This couple hasn't been together. I think so.
For sure.
What?
I think so.
Anyway, so again, so these shadows get very, they get a little bit complicated. And what makes it sometimes even more complicated is the interplay between these shadows and the Dan Basulim shadows. So we're trying to walk a very fine line. That means we don't want to be making on Dan Basulim and say the couple can't be together anymore. Because sometimes being Machmer and Dan Basulim is going to end up running into a problem that, well, maybe they weren't really Matzliach, and now we're creating an Isser of Yichud, couldn't be Rishona. So you have to play both of these Simanim and Shulchan Aruch against each other and try to figure out how to paskin it properly and with the proper help and understanding the psychology of what's going on over here. So hopefully we try to be Matzliach in answering these shalas properly. Okay, we'll stop here.
You see
it
for
a while. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no share next week.
No share next week.